there's no way to fix it. I mean, we saw a counselor at the time and we tried, and no one steps in and says, oh, I know that you have a loss. In this situation, our entire family dynamics changed. And there's no social norm or protocol to help families through this kind of thing.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here, we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did, and that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope.
With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Welcome back to Hope Survives Podcast. Today we are talking about the loss of identity after a brain injury. So to talk about this concept of loss of identity for today's episode, I've brought my mom because my mom is the wisest person that I know. She's taught me so much. And she is coming on for the second half of this episode to share some of what she has gone through and my family has gone through. And I hope that her interview can bring you some encouragement, whether you are a survivor or a family member, but especially to those family members, to know that you're seen and you're heard. And so we're going to have a conversation here in just a little bit. And I thank you for being here and listening today. And this is kind of continuing a conversation which began last week with the episode called Identity After Injuries. In that episode, survivor Callie shared her story, and she talks about how before her brain injury, she used to identify herself as an athlete, and afterwards, she really didn't know how to identify herself and what to do. And so her story, she shares how she found some new passions, but also how it was really hard. And so I opened up a conversation on our social media this week about how loss of identity has affected us. And on the Hope After Head Injury Instagram, on the story, I put in a question sticker and I asked people, how does loss of identity affect you? So here are some responses from some of our followers on Instagram, and I'm going to share them anonymously. So one person wrote, I feel like I am my injury. Life revolves around trying to get better and managing symptoms. Another person said, everything I enjoyed doing has completely changed or is non-existent. I miss the old me. Somebody else said, after my accident, I would look in the mirror at times and see a completely different person. Another person wrote, learning how to use my body again made me feel foreign in my own body. Somebody else said that socially, I feel like I don't fit in as I don't do normal things like work. Someone else said that they lost their confidence and became super shy. Another one of you wrote, fatigue level, daily tasks are not the same. It's a true struggle. It has affected mentally and physically. Somebody else wrote, I feel like I'm not living my own life. I've lost my true self and often wonder if I'll ever get her. And there are a lot more responses, and you can see them if you visit Hope After Head Injury on Instagram and click the story highlight called Identity. So I wanted to share some of those responses because as I was reading them, my heart just broke. I'm going to cry right now. My heart broke because I feel it so deeply. It's so hard. And there's no easy way to talk about it. You know, it's when everything in your life changes from a brain injury, you're just left feeling like left in the dust. Like, why did this happen? How am I ever going to recover? And besides the physical struggles from the symptoms and the doctor's appointments and the medical things, there's the emotional struggles. And like one person wrote in there, socially, your relationships change. The way that your family interacts changes. Everything changes. The way that you view yourself, your self-worth, it all changes. And over the years, let me backtrack. When you first have an injury, there's this comparison to who you were before. So you're kind of in this state of, I used to be able to do this before my injury and now I can't. Or you compare yourself to other people who have had not had injuries, your peers, wherever you are in life, whether, you know, wherever you're, whatever stage you're at in life, you might compare yourself to others and think they're doing so much more than me. Why can't I do that? And your identity of how you might define yourself, whether it's through your family, through your job, through your interests, a lot of those change after an injury because either your symptoms, you can't handle them anymore, or simply you feel different and you can't really put a finger on it and you don't know why. You go from being a healthy person to just basically feeling like a sick person. I don't often use the word sick because having a brain injury is different than having a chronic illness, but they do present similarly. And it comes on out of nowhere. But then the farther out you get in your brain injury journey, you know, as you know, my first brain injury was 14 years ago. So I'm here over a decade later. And I had a pretty serious traumatic brain injury, and I've had multiple concussions over the years. And so as I started to recover, I kept getting more injuries and more setbacks. And so the more brain injuries you have, the harder it is to recover from. My most recent brain injury was only 2 years ago. So even though my first one was 14 years ago, my most recent concussion was only 2 years ago. So I'm still in the recovery journey, although I've learned a lot over the years. But sharing from the perspective of someone who's been on this journey a long time, I find that less and less am I comparing myself to who I was before the injury, but more and more do I feel like the brain injury itself has become my identity. More and more, I have felt like everything about me is defined around this brain injury. Like the center part of myself is the injury, is this broken part of me with the symptoms and the struggles and something I feel like I can't escape. And the longer time that passes, the more that I define myself as a brain injury survivor, for better or for worse. I mean, you could look at it in the way that, yeah, I've done a lot of advocacy, and I have this podcast, and I've been able to speak at conferences, and I've done a lot to bring awareness to brain injury through music and other things. But on the other hand, I've also kind of allowed it to become the way that I think about myself. I don't just think of brain injury as like a thing that describes me, but I also kind of think of it as everything about me. So it's like this loss of identity from maybe what you had before is now replaced with this identity of an injured person. And that's not where we want to live either. You know, so how do we deal with this? How do we find the balance? I don't have the answers. And we're all different. But I will say that the number one thing that has helped me to connect with this identity piece the most has been my faith. When I step back and I think about my identity is not in what has happened to me, but my identity is that I am a child of God. I mean, that's who I am. And something that the Lord has been kind of speaking over me is over the last several years is the difference between your story and your identity. So I made a post on my Instagram last week on my page, the Christabel Braden page, to differentiate from the Hope After Henry page. And this was something that I had written a little while back, and I kind of revisited it and rephrased it a little bit. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, "We all have a story." I wrote this. "We all have a story, and they shape us into who we are and who we are becoming. Your story is made up of everything that has happened to you. It's your testimony. And it's so important to learn and to learn to own your story and walk in authenticity with it." Sorry, I'm having a little trouble pronouncing my words, but I know you guys understand. I know you understand the brain injury struggles. So, but what I'm saying is, sorry, I'm back to reading. "It's so important to learn to own your story and walk in authenticity with it." So to be authentic with your story. And I believe that. But when we allow our stories to become our identity, we can feel trapped. And this especially is the case with past trauma, because your story is so intricately linked to who you have become. It feels like it defines you. And I've felt this way, and it has led to struggles with self-worth. It's been a process of healing, and it's required me to strip back the things that I may have believed about myself that aren't true, and I'll learn to allow the Lord to teach me what He says about me through His Word. So I've had to learn how to make declarations of truth about myself, such as I'm a child of God, that keep me afloat on the hardest days when I just want to curl up into a ball and disappear. So the difference between story and identity is that my story is marked by struggles. I'm a survivor. I have survived brain injuries. I am also a survivor of an abusive relationship. I don't talk about that a lot on this podcast, but that's part of my story too. And that is a very significant part of the trauma that I've been through, the abuse that has marked the way that I view myself and the way that I see the world. So even though my story is marked by struggles, my identity is marked by freedom, because despite anything that has happened to me, I'm a child of God. He created me for a reason. So here is kind of the top points. Your identity is not affected by your story. Because even with a brain injury, your identity, truly who you are deep down, will never change. The identity of you being a child of God, right? No matter what's happened to you. You're not defined by your past. And there is always hope. So wherever you are at on your journey, I just wanted to share that's my personal experience. For me, faith has helped me the most. And if it's something that you want to learn more about and talk about, please join my Brain Injury Bible Study group. I also have a podcast called Brain Injury Bible Study where we talk more about faith. But here on this podcast, we talk a lot more about brain injury and brain health and mental health and brain injury recovery as it pertains to the medical side of things. But I do think that brain injury has an overlap between medical and emotional and spiritual because it's hard, especially this topic about identity. So, all that to say, if you have dealt with a loss of identity after your brain injury, I want you to know that you're not alone. And I am sending you a big, giant virtual hug over this podcast. As you are listening, please, please just feel this hug that I'm sending you because I'm here for you as your sister in brain injury. And I want to honor where you at on your journey and uphold you and honor your story. What you've been through matters. It's real and it hurts, but it doesn't define you. These struggles, they shape us, but they don't define us. And so even though you might not know who you are right now, you might be feeling this loss of identity. I just want to encourage you that there's still something inside of you that's still you. It just might take a little while to find it. It might come out in a different way. But there's still something inside of you that is still you. You are still yourself, even though you don't feel like yourself. Your brain injury will never change that. Okay? You are not alone. So, stay tuned and we'll move into the next segment of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope After Head Injury is a global online community for brain injury survivors, caregivers, families, advocates, anyone who'd want to be part of the brain injury community. I'd like to invite you to join our Facebook support group. You can search Hope After Head Injury support group on there. We also have a page and an Instagram. And every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the Hope After Hendry Facebook page, there's a live chat. So I've been doing this live video for over 5 years on the Hope After Head Injury Facebook page. So you can join us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that has become just such a beautiful community. We also have a monthly Zoom support meeting. You can join that by visiting hopeafterheadinjury.com/community. And the link for that is in the description of the podcast. We meet once a month, encourage each other on our journeys. You can either have your camera on or off, however you're comfortable. You can just listen, or you can come and share some of your story and encouragement with others. It's a great time to know that we are in this together, and we are stronger together as a brain injury community. I also run a group called Brain Injury Bible Study. There's also a podcast for that. If you search Brain Injury Bible Study, that should come up. And we have Zoom meetings occasionally as well, and a Facebook group. You can find that information if it's something you'd be interested in. It's basically we combine faith and brain injury recovery together in that group. Now, finally, I just want to share a reminder that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only, and it's not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now, let's get started in today's interview. Today, I'm welcoming my mom, Cindy Braden to the Hope Survives podcast. So if you listened to season one, you have heard her. She was on a couple episodes there, and the very first episode where we introduced the Hope Survives podcast and a little bit of my story and our family's story through brain injury. And today we're going to be talking about loss of identity. And so I wanted to bring my mom back on the podcast again to be able to offer some perspective on the caregiver and the family side of what it's like to go through this. You know, it's different for every person. All of our experiences are going to be different, but there are some common themes and common threads that we can encourage each other on by learning from each other's stories. And I hope that this encourages you, especially if you're listening and you are a family member or a caregiver, to know that you are seen and your journey matters too. But I know that it doesn't always feel that way, does it?
Well, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about saying, hey, I need attention, or hey, I need this, because you're just concerned about being a caregiver. And it was, what, 4 years before I realized I was a caregiver? I thought I was just a mom trying to get everything organized and get things back. And then I realized, hey, what I'm doing and how we've completely changed our life and everything is I'm a caregiver. You know, I didn't know. And then I saw it in a magazine. They talked about caregiver fatigue when you were at a doctor's appointment and I was in the waiting room, and I was back when you could touch magazines before COVID. And it said, listed all this caregiver fatigue, and it talked about it, and it hit me then. I didn't know until I saw that. And so then that helped me find a different identity from trying to reclaim the identity from before her head injury. And so much changed for us. And I know it does for a lot of you all too. And it's so hard to identify how our identity changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's because all of a sudden you're just confused all the time, and you keep thinking you're doing these good things and these right things, the things you're supposed to be doing, but nothing ever gets settled. Nothing ever feels secure or calm or like it should feel, like you work to have it feel.
Yeah. And a lot of times in today's society, our identity is tied to what we do. So, you know, when you first meet someone, I mean, I'm guilty of this too, but when I first like meet somebody new, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get to know them. I ask them like, what do you do? What's your job? Right? Like that's part of how we define ourselves in this society, but that's not who we are. And when you have a brain injury, that changes, you know, it can change. And, you know, maybe what you went to school for, now you can't do it anymore, or you can't go to school, or your interests are different, or you're not able to have the same skills, or you were an athlete and now you can't play the same sports.
Or like us, you were bullied so badly, we actually had to move.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're being bullied and you just don't know who you are anymore. And there is this like sense of loss and grief when it comes to the life from before the injury and how that changes and affects you now. And then there's also like the longer that it goes, the more you start to feel like the brain injury is your identity. And that's a whole other thing to cope with, because it's like that loss of identity that you had before gets replaced with doctor's visits and prescriptions and therapies and symptoms and struggles, and it becomes all too much. So when it comes to identity and caregiver, we haven't actually introduced you yet. Oh. So I wanted you to maybe introduce yourself, okay, a little bit about who you are and your background.
Well, I'm Cindy Braden. I hold a Master's of Science in Lifespan Development, and I taught kindergarten for about 20 years. And then since she's been hurt, I've been her caregiver. And so I volunteer and I do things in the Hope After Head Injury community, and tried to advocate for brain injury awareness and things like that. But that's really who I am now. I'm Christabel's mom. So hi, everybody. I'm Christabel's mom. We also have other children. She has sisters. I'm also their moms, but it's a little different because I'm not on a podcast talking about them, you know. So
Well, I want you to be talking about you, not necessarily talking about me, you know, because that's the thing about brain injury is it's kind of like everything becomes about you and like you feel guilty, but you don't mean for that to be like that. But like, you know, what you go through affects everything. So I really wanted to bring attention in this episode to the caregiver's journey matters too.
You reminded me of one of the things that has happened to me over your head injury journey. I accompany you to many, many, many events because she doesn't drive and a lot of other reasons. And while I'm there, I'm meeting all of these wonderful, nice people. And but as I'm meeting them, I don't remember meeting them or the conversations because half of me is thinking, okay, what is she doing? Where is she? Is she doing okay? Are there social things that she's doing that we're going to have to work on later and things like that? So I'm kind of only partially present in my life. And that has kind of become a thing that I was actually recently able to identify so that I can work on being more present and kind of letting her do her thing. But for the first 12 years, half of me was always thinking, okay, what do we need to work on? How is she doing? What do we need to have a different kind of therapy or all of that? And so that was a big part of my identity. And one of the other things you said was about grief.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hardest things I think we went through was grieving who you used to be. And when we were able to grieve who you used to be and who your identity was and how our family worked as a unit and grieve how that was no longer the case anymore. It took about at least a year to kind of accept it and then move forward. Then our identity and our sense of who we were as a unit changed. And that was good, but it was really dark for a while. So,
yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more. I know it's dark, right? But when it comes to like grieving the person you were before the brain injury, a lot of times the survivor themselves, like our memories affected. So it's not the same. It's harder for us to kind of have a outside perspective of our own changes because we're just trying to survive. You know, we're just trying to get through every day. But for the family, you see the changes and you see the difference and you see the struggles from a different perspective. And so how does that affect you?
Do you mean like crying in the shower? Or do you mean like how does it affect me? It affects everything. It affects how we make dinners. It affects how we clean our house. It affects how we keep things in cabinets. Even today, I don't change anything in our kitchen without having her be part of where the new things are going to go. Or if I buy something new, like a new bowl or something in the kitchen, I talk with her about it. We talk about where it goes and things like that because changes to routine can just throw you off. And if she's having a good day, she can roll with it. But if she happens to be having a weather-related headache or light sensitivity or just a bad day, then it could be, I couldn't find this. And so we do things very differently than how we used to do. Like a lot of things are different. But, you know, it's really all okay mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, and we're talking, well, when you say it's all okay now, you're not saying it's all better. You're just saying that now you've gotten used to it kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes, like, when I talk to you, I'll talk to you very specifically, and I'll say, okay, Christabel, can you X, Y, and Z, you know, whatever the task is. And then I turn around and do it to her sisters. And I ask them if they can X, Y, and Z. And they go, Mom, you don't have to explain it. I know all the steps. So there's a lot of that.
Yeah. And it changes the way that what I'm hearing you saying is it changes the way that we interact. And every little tiny aspect of the household is different with the brain injury. And so that's a lot. It's a lot to handle. It's a lot. And, you know, for me, like, I don't believe I'm fully aware of all the changes that you have made.
But it's also life. I don't mind making the changes.
Yeah, I know. But I kind of, you know, we're talking here over 10 years after my brain injury. So like kind of going back to the earlier stages, how did it affect you on the way that you viewed yourself before my injury versus maybe a couple years in? How did your identity change?
I was working so hard to figure out what I could do to help you. 2 weeks after your head injury, I started praying to God every day to help me be aware of the opportunities to help you. And how did it change me? I used to keep a very tidy house. All my labels were forward everywhere. That doesn't matter. That kind of thing doesn't matter anymore. How did it change me? I stopped sleeping. You know, my physical health declined. I don't like talking about this with you. That makes me uncomfortable because I don't ever talk about this stuff with you, okay? Because it's not about, when God gives you somebody to love, that's just your job. And so it's very, I don't want to add to what you already go through on a daily basis because it doesn't matter, you know? Yeah. And then you have well-meaning friends that say things like, oh, God doesn't give you what you can't handle. God only gives you what you can handle. And yeah, I understand the meaning behind that, but if God gave me what I could handle, then I didn't need to be on my knees praying for help with him. You know? And so, and we're taught, I also believe all of our life experiences are to help give us layers of compassion so that we can help someone else go through something difficult. So how, I don't know how it changed me. It's just my path.
Yeah.
How's that? Is that okay?
No, that's great. I know it's not easy to talk to, especially you're talking to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're on a podcast and yeah, we're talking to all those people. But I think if another caregiver was interviewing you or somebody who wasn't me, you know, it might be a different conversation because in your head right now, you're going, I don't want to offend Christabel and I don't want to make her feel bad. So you're filtering what you're mm-hmm. saying. And that goes into how things change too for a caregiver, right? Because like every single thing that you say and do goes through the lens of, you know, how will this affect my survivor?
Yes.
And you've mentioned before that like a lot of times people just know you as Christabel's mom. Whereas before my brain injury, you know, you were your own person. Like people knew you as, you know, for other reasons.
Yeah. Well, right now, one of the things I'm working on is putting things for me on the calendar. This is a new thing for me. I'm trying to put things that are for Cindy only on the calendar because we haven't done that.
Yeah.
So just little things, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's important, and I'm going to bring something up, and if you feel uncomfortable, I can edit it out, but I guess like maybe 5 or 6 or maybe more years ago for Christmas or one of those things, birthday, my dad and my sisters and I got my mom like a massage gift card, and we thought it would be so great. We could get her this gift card to go and get a massage done. And then she didn't want it and returned it because she felt like she couldn't spend the time on herself and that it wasn't appropriate and she just couldn't do that. And so it got returned and I don't want to call you out or make you uncomfortable, but I think that's a really good example of like how you feel as a caregiver. You feel like maybe you don't deserve to be cared for yourself.
Well, The thing is that at that time, too, your dad was traveling 3 weeks out of a month.
For work, yeah.
For work. And so everything I did was like a single mom. And I really didn't have any friends here. So, because we had moved here recently and I didn't have people to rely on in case. And so there was no relaxation at all with doing something that's expensive you know, for me. And I think I'll be able to get back into maybe having a massage or something, you know, down the road. I mean, everything's always changing, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the life with the brain injury. It's not static ever. It'll always change. And so I'm a little embarrassed by that.
Well, but what you just said is important, because like what you just said was like you were doing everything to take care of us and you just didn't feel like you had the time or anything for relaxation.
I wouldn't have been able to relax my mind enough for it. And also I also have a hard time taking like a really deep breath because it'll just make me cry. And so these are all new things that I'm working on that I've recently identified that I need help with.
Uh-huh. So. And we're both in therapy, so.
Yes, yes. And
which is helpful. You guys hear me say this on the podcast a lot, but I highly recommend seeing a counselor or a mental health professional because it makes a big difference.
And I have found a counselor who has experience with other families that have had brain injury in their family. And she also has a master's of divinity because she knows faith is important. Among other things. So it's, like I said, I'm working on putting things for me on the calendar.
So let's talk a little bit about, I'm backtracking a little bit, but we've danced around or talked a little bit about the grief process. But something we've talked about in the past with Hope After Head Injury and some of our other things that we've done over the years is talking about the grief process when there's a brain injury. It's very interesting because I'm still alive. Like I'm still here, but the person I was before isn't here anymore. So it's like this very, very ambiguous loss of this grief of like, you're grieving, losing a child kind of, but yet you're there. There's still a child here. Like she's still here. And so it's like, this very, very, like, difficult thing to understand or comprehend. And, you know, for the survivor, like, for me, for myself, it's like I had a lot of memory problems. I had a lot of long-term memory problems and short-term memory problems. And so for me, all I really had was the present because my memory was really bad. So I think like earlier on in the journey, like I was just who I was in that moment all the time. I was unfiltered, authentic, just like who I was in that moment because I didn't have a ton of memory and I also didn't have the cognitive abilities to filter what I was saying. But then as the years have gone on, I have felt like the brain injury had become my identity and I wasn't anything outside of it. And that's something I think I'm still grappling with a little bit. But for the caregiver, for you, what was that grief process like? And what did you see in my sisters?
The grief process, what your dad and I really had to do was during our grief process, we started just believing that you were an identical twin to the first girl that we raised. Because after your head injury, you were like a 2-year-old. And I was helping you in the bathroom. You were using maybe 2-word sentences. And you had very limited vocabulary. You had to relearn how to read. A lot of your fine motor skills were very, very weak. And so being a kindergarten teacher, I was able to set you up with sensory activities and things like that. And so we basically re-raised you. But your sense of humor was different. Your favorite things, your facial expressions, your cadence and how you spoke. It's all different than it was before. So in our minds, for us to be able to say you were like an identical twin to the first girl helped us not expect you to behave like you did before the head injury.
Kind of like a coping mechanism.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we don't believe that you were all of a sudden a different person. But you had the same heart. Always very, very sweet. And that was always helpful with it. But some people condemned us for saying that or feeling like that. And some people who have had the terrible tragedy of losing a child did not understand at all when I would say that. And with your sisters, the youngest sister, she was 4 when you got hurt. All of a sudden, she had this playmate that she could teach things to. And so she kind of took on, oh, hey, sissy, you want to color? And she'd set up coloring, and you'd watch
Sesame. We played a lot of Uno.
Yeah, a lot of Uno, but it was all good for you.
Yeah.
And she enjoyed all of that, and she knew how to pack her own busy bag for all your doctor's appointments and things. It was just kind of, she was just the tag-along, and she knew that you were there to play with her. You guys ate together, you snacked together, all of that. Your middle sister had a much more difficult time because she just worshipped you. She followed you around everywhere. And
I'm the oldest, for the record. Yeah.
And for her, this ambiguous loss was and is very tragic because her peers didn't understand. The bullying that you were getting was then also going to her because she was the sister of the kid, of the girl with the brain injury. And there's no way to fix it. I mean, we saw a counselor at the time, and we tried, and no one steps in and says, oh, I know that you have a loss. Much like if someone passes away, there's all of these traditions and things that people do to support the people that have lost, you know, a loved one. But in this situation, our entire family dynamics changed. And there's no social norm or protocol to help families through this kind of thing. And a lot of people just like to keep their distance, don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And let's also not forget that my first brain injury was in 2007, December 2007. But like 2008, 2009, it was a different world in brain injury than it is today. 10 years ago, there was not the brain injury awareness that there is. There was not the resources. Like my Hope After Head, I made Hope After Head Injury page on social media in 2012. I don't think there were like hardly any other pages about brain injury when I first made it. And now there's tons, you know? So like it's just a different world. And I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that now there's so much more awareness. But at the time, there really was not an understanding of the invisible injury or invisible illnesses or, you know, this idea that there could be an invisible disability. That it was very, very, very misunderstood and very difficult for people to get that I looked fine, but yet, and I could act fine for a little bit, but yet I still had all these problems.
And still needed help.
And I needed help, yeah.
And attention. And people were at the time very quick to judge. And we were told that we were coddling you. The doctors at the big hospital we took you to said you could never drive. But then a family member gave you a keychain as a gift.
For my 16th birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was very, very lonely for us as a family. Very, very lonely. And we wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
Wouldn't wish that whole tragic change and everything on anyone. And we moved because of the bullying was just so intense. And we thought, okay, we're the same people. We'll just build our life again, where we move, because, hey, we're the same people. But then as we start to unpack, we couldn't unpack because it was all of our old life, our old world, and it would just cause so much emotional. We would just cry and be upset. So we still have a lot of boxes that are not unpacked.
But yeah, over 10 years later, mm-hmm. and it's still emotional. Like, my dad was going through stuff the other day, and he came across boxes of stuff from before my brain injury, and it made him really upset, you know? And it's okay to share that, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's our life.
Yeah.
And I think that more people go through this quietly than people know. It's very, very real. And you really can't throw the boxes out because you actually have baby books and things like that in these boxes.
You have to go through them, but it's emotional. Yeah. All right. Well, I always ask a last words of any final words of encouragement or hope. I want to ask you to speak to caregivers or family members. What is your final word of hope? Because it's Hope Survives Podcast. So what is your word of hope for people who are feeling this loss and going through this journey?
My final word. I have lots of advice.
All right. Let's hear it.
I have lots of advice. One of the best pieces of advice I was given after she was hurt was someone told me that it's going to feel like someone takes your house, shook it, and then set it back down. And I thought, are you kidding me? My house is neat. I don't have any dust bunnies. My labels are forward. They were right. That's just what happens because your routines and everything get so off and you just get so confused and everything's so uncertain that it's really, really hard to keep your house at the same level that you kept it before. And you know what? It's okay. And the thing is, everything is okay. You know, it really will be okay. And baby steps are the best kind of steps. You just take little baby steps each day, and sometimes it doesn't even look like you move forward, but if you're still even doing the same thing that you did yesterday, that's still great, you know? And as a caregiver, put things on the calendar for you.
Put things on the calendar for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Any words of hope on people who might be feeling grief and loss?
Value those feelings, respect those feelings. It's important to have those feelings because, quite frankly, you're missing something that was important to you. But as you grieve and allow yourself to have some of that time to experience that, you will find little bits of light that are going to show up in the rest of your life. And you're like, oh, okay, all right, I can do this. Oh, I'm kind of really sad today. Then you honor some of those memories that make you sad. And then you get to make new memories. And I know that you might have heard that before, but it really works.
I love that. Thanks. You so much for coming on the podcast. I know this is not an easy conversation, but I know it's going to encourage people. So
love you, baby.
Love you. So if you guys want to get in touch with her, you can follow her at Cindy Braden on Instagram. And I will put that information in the podcast description.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.